Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome back to the second hour of Tip Today, 1800 938 007. Just to remind you, towards the end of the programme, we'll be speaking about gardening with Alton Nesbitt from Arabawn. So if you have a query for Alton, will you log it with us, please? 083 311 3311.
The Tipperary Village Tour, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
Good morning, Ellie. Whereabouts are you today? Oh, there you go. There you go. There's our transmission issues there. Ellie, can you hear?
Oh, hi, friend. Yes. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. Good morning to you, Ellie. Where
can
are
you hear
you?
Me?
Where are you? I can hear you fine.
Yeah. Good morning, friend. We're here in Newcastle in South Tipperary from Nugent's Pub this morning. Yay! And John, it's lovely to be in Newcastle, another village that is rich in heritage and history.
Well, this one I think is particularly rich in heritage. I'm sure I'm painted and converted here, but I just love that coming down this morning and looking, you are passing the fertile plain, crossing over the River Shore, and then the River Tar joining here, and then the wonderful playground of the North Milldown Mountains as a backdrop to the whole place. And then you come in here to a traditional pub, and you can feel the warmth way. Everybody knows everybody else, and of course I have to say the scones were delicious as well as that, so you know the atmosphere straight away. So it's absolutely fantastic. And of course we're talking about, I think Knock Me Down is a terrible name, and we should be really using the old name, the Sliabh Gua, the Mountain of the Hounds. And it's fun. So it's a traditional area, very strong in the music, very strong in Irish. We're going to get the music here and the Gaeilge, and you could hear the Gaeilge being spoken here this morning, so it's still alive. It's absolutely fantastic to see that. And of course, in back over the years, this was a brack Gaeltacht. It was the last area in Tipperary to concede to English, and I don't think, looking at it this morning, it has even conceded yet. And in, I think, the 60s and 70s, people came here and learned their Irish. And I understand here that we'll say well-known Gael Gori, like Laura Samoracu from Cashel. This is where they came. They didn't go to Kerry, and this is where they got the faultless Irish in here. So it's an absolutely, you know, wonderful place. And I think the last native speakers who had learned it at their mother and father's knee, I think they passed away, I think, up to the 1980s. So it's great. But then, of course, as well as that, you have Knock Me Down active here, one of the fine, they'll be talking later on, one of the finest developmental organisations in the country. And I think the Knock Me Downs were an unused resource for a long time, but they saw the potential in them, and they drove it on, and now we have the wonderful St. Declan's Way, but they do other things as well. I was up there, and there were some, you know, up there during the summer, and they had kayaking on Bay Loch. And in fact, Marion McGrath was putting people into the kayaks while I was up there as well as that. So, you know, and they have coming up the Knock Me Down Challenge. So the Knock Me Downs meant nothing until they came along. And then, of course, St. Declan's Way. And that's due to one local man here who had a vision. And who went out to Kevin O'Donnell, who went out to Spain, walked the Camino, but had a vision. Why can't we do this in Ireland? And a path that had been forgotten was reopened. I think it's going to be huge. You'll see 250 to 300 people passing above here in 2 weeks' time. It's fantastic. And finally, I have to mention, of course, I'm always banging on about Liam Lynch, but I have never been in the pub before where he passed away. And I think all the poignancy of the Civil War, of comrades fighting comrades, came here because himself and Larry Clancy, they spoke to each other and they agreed that they had both been comrades. And Liam Lynch took out a pen and he handed it to him and he said, "You were a former comrade." And then he just said the terribleness of it all, and this sums up the Civil War. He says, "It should never have happened. It should never have happened. Poor Ireland, poor Ireland." And of course, the chaise lawn where Liam Lynch, the Republican leader, was laid out is still inside here. So I haven't been in there yet. I'm looking looking forward to that. Yeah. But it's great. It's wonderful to come here. Wonderful community. And you can almost touch the atmosphere and the Gaeilge with us as well as that.
Absolutely. And what's very rich here then as well, of course, as John said, is the music. And hello, ladies.
Hello.
Tell me all your names. I'll start here.
I'm Cuiva.
Lauren.
And I'm Maddie.
Maddie, how are you all this morning?
Good.
Now, I know you're fresh off a score competition from the weekend. Tell me how that went.
It went good.
Good?
So we came first in our 8 hands.
Excellent.
We didn't... I'm not sure what we came with our ballad group.
So, I mean, this was...
Well, sadly, we have a break in transmission there where that is concerned. Let's see if we can get Ellie back. Oh, yes,
yeah,
she's back to us
as
now.
Well.
And what's your favourite part of it?
I love watching all of it.
It's
it's really nice.
Yeah. And I know you make friends from all over the country doing it, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
That's fine. I know you're going to sing a song for us then today. What are we going to sing?
Katie.
Okay, do you want me to count you down? Okay, you ready? Well done. We're just preparing. Excellent. All right, we're ready to go. I'll count you down. 3, 2, 1.
Some acres of green, by the stained glass streaming light, and a yellow coloured lampshade used to keep us up all night, and the smile upon your face, and a tear.
Have we competitions coming up?
We're taking a break for a couple of weeks.
And then we're back in. Well done. Fantastic. Well done. Another Bula Bus for the girls there from the score. Helen McGrath, lovely to talk to you this morning.
This Margaret Armadine.
I'm ashamed of my Irish now talking to you, Helen. But tell us about, John mentioned it as well, the history of Irish here. No, you're okay. You can stay comfortable. Tell us about it. I know it's something that you're still driving here in the village as well, aren't you?
Oh, sure. I'm only following in my own ancestry. That's all. I'm, as I saw on television there way back, we're now a part of a country called Europe. Well, I was very annoyed about that because I'm an Irish person. It's Gael Gourmet, and there's a lot of people in Newcastle who are very much into Irish still because it's part of us.
Yeah.
We come from... a Brach Gaeltacht, and unfortunately we lost that title in the 50s when immigration was strong and statistics showed that the numbers went down that we're speaking of, you know. Brach means speckled, so it's the Irish word for a trout as well. And if you were Googling Mr. Google, all you'd see if you were looking up Brach Gaeltacht would be a trout Gaeltacht,
oh,
you know, because they wouldn't know what Brach in true meaning is.
Will an Gaeltacht chocht an Ashenish?
Yeah, ta Ashairi and Sha led Temple Turkabli in a noose. In Deus Nanokadi in the beginning of the 90s there was a revival because there used to be, as you said, John, an Irish college here, Kalashta, and twas where Laura Samaraku, he put it in the paper. How he got his grow for Irish was here in Newcastle when he was a young fella. He came here for the month of July. They had a Kalashta and the people, you know, they came from all over Ireland. They stayed in local houses and everything. And then all that went when the title went, but the Irish was still here. And in the 90s, a revolution of Irish started again, and there was a Kalashta revival again. And following on after that, an Éanra was founded with a small number. And Matty McGrath, the TD, my brother-in-law, he he's daughter Tressa, she was one of the first little children. There was only eight, and now does over 90 children on the roll book.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's true going. Irish. The ethos is there, even with the babies. They do boula bus instead of clap hands. Aww. You know, so it's a great facility for the village. But the heritage is there, and people think of Newcastle, they think of Irish. No, you talked about how beautiful we're in the Golden Vale, the richest farmland in Ireland, and how did Irish live here? And we had a landlord called Captain Perry up until the 1800s, and like, how did we still survive having Irish, and when 'twasn't bit out of us by people who were invading and everything? Mm. Like, we had Oliver Cromwell pass through on his way to Clonmel through Borhonagowl, and it's still called Borhonagowl. We have all the place names, and we had Strongbow's soldiers came up from where did he come in? Wexford,
yeah.
To the top of the mountains, the Knockmoyle Down, the bare brown mountains, the Knockmoyle Downs. And his soldiers, when they got up there, they were saying, now we're going to build a castle, where will we build it? They looked south and they saw the Blackwater Valley, beautiful, good land there. They looked north and they saw the beautiful Shore Valley and all the rich land, and they said, where will we build our castle? So they decided they'd light a fire, and wherever the smoke blew, they'd build a castle. And they were called Clown and Jattig, the smoke people who built the castle here in Newcastle, because the smoke blew this way, the prevailing winds, that brought them here. Those people were under, then a Norman church was built, that was the 1200s. A Norman church was built, kind of, they were patrons, we'll say, and there was Middle Ages time, there was also a church which had been in Mallach Abbey, and Mallach Abbey is 5th century originally. The Brigidian Order were there, and St. Declan, it's recorded, I've read it in his manuscripts, that he, from time to time on his way back to the mountains, as you said, John Shlieve Gu, he used to go down from Cashel to Mallach Abbey on his way back to Ardmore, and he used to take a rest there, you know. That was the 5th century, and the only way to cross the river was a ford. It was very shallow, so that's where he crossed it, and he went over Shlieve Gu, the Shannanim, the Knockmoyle Down.
And now there's still Irish words, you know, the way you get Buchalan and Smithereens. Like, I fear in the towns they are dying out, but have you still got the kind of the mask on here?
Well, oh, Tashi Gwing, oh, Tashi Gwing, oh, Gulchas, Marhampla, he hadn't a rib of hair on his head. Well, ribbe, or IBE, is the Irish word for a strand of hair.
Yeah.
So if you ask somebody who wasn't Irish about a rib, they would think you're talking about the rib in their chest. Another example, and I remember it from my own childhood, my mother, she sent me, we had an open fire for cooking, and she sent me down to Mallach Cross to go into the Michael Morrissey's field there and get a boron for the fire. And a boron is a dried cow pat, you know. And that was to put on top of the cooking pot to keep the heat in. You know, you'd put that on top. And I read in, so we had this wonderful man called Seamus Amoyle Cahig, who wrote on Glaun agus Ravaun in the 60s. He was a native Irish speaker. And I saw in his writings, he had way more than just the book he wrote on Glaun agus Ravaun. He wrote way more stuff, and it's in the archives in the folklore department in UCD. And he wrote about a B-O-U-R-A-F-A-D-A-N. Bowron. And where do you think the word Bowron came out of?
Yeah.
Isn't it round as well? So it probably came from a cow pat.
you were showing me the books as well that you have here this morning. It's great to see that all of that has been documented now and will continue.
Yeah. Well, like as John said there, the last native speakers would have been in the 80s. Well, Matty McGrath's father would have been one of them. You know, he never heard English until he was going to school, I think. But we still here have a lot of words, fitafoot, Maska, mask on Verla, you know, that's kind of how it's still here, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of words, like a couple of them that I give you the example, but like I spoke about the Middle Ages when the Norman invasion here, but before that Newcastle existed before there was any castle. So in Cashel, I knew we had Graig Vera, which means Mary's hamlet, and Graig is a cluster of houses, and we have a hill up the road towards Matty's home place and Maureen's is called the Graig, you know, up the Graig. And
does that mean then, the Graig?
The Graig is a cluster of houses, right. And there's lots of Graigs and Graigs in Ireland, or in this area anyway, which would be where there was maybe many houses, Bahans, before the famine.
Together.
You know, yeah. I remember my father talking about that in that hill. There was a lot of little houses there, little Bahans and that, you know. And Liam Lynch, then, you know, such heritage does here. And that was so sad. And, like, we would be very much of the Liam Lynch persuasion. I would, anyway, I'll speak for myself. You know, I'm still a true Irish person, and Ireland is Ireland, you know.
It is a republican. It always had a strong republican tradition. I'm saying that as a compliment to the people who did in a bonded community. And I'd say that's what drew Lynch and the people who were having the meeting, the executive of the Republicans. That's just why they came here, because they were comfortable here. They felt they would be, you know?
Yeah, there would have been safe places for them, you know, to go. And I mean, it was such a hard time. He was here wounded, fatally wounded, on that chair that you're going to look at, the chaise longue, the long, that's a French word now, but anyway, what arm?
Well, I'm fucking good. Chaise longue.
Helen, lovely to talk to you today. I know we could talk to you all morning. Thanks so much. Thanks, Helen. Give Helen a boula bus there. Helen, did you like my use of Irish there? Yeah, use that. Dennis, where's Dennis? Dennis, how are you?
Well, very well.
Good. Dennis. Thank you so much. You're president of Newcastle GAA. Tell us about the club here. Another rich history here. See you, girls. Thanks a million.
Yes, it has indeed. Yes, the club, I think, was founded back in, well, I don't think it was founded back in 1932, from what we believe, And it was set up then by a committee formed, but I don't think they took part in any championship for about 2 years later, 1935, from what records show.
It hurling or football starting?
It started,
was
it started the hurling club.
Right.
Yeah, hurling club was the main thing here. And in the mid-50s, 56, the football club was formed.
Right.
And from then on, there'd been a dual club, both hurling and football.
Tell me about the golden age.
Oh, God, the golden age. Well, look, they were successful back the years. Back in 1953, the club was really honoured here when late Tommy Sweeney won a junior, All-Ireland junior hurling final, playing with Tipperary. And 2 years following that, Tomás O'Flynn won a minor, 1956, wasn't it? Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe was up my writing man. I made sure he came here today. Later on, 52 years later, he won an intermediate. So there were three All-Irelands like back in the 50s.
Brilliant.
You know, which was very good for the club.
Have you ever had to amalgamate then, or have you always been able to stay?
No, amalgamated to form a senior club.
Right.
Apart from senior competitions. Amalgamated with Ballybacon and with St. Mary's and Clonmel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about the pitch then above. It's a fine facility up there.
Yes, they were lucky again, thanks to the first officer of the club. Of course, that going back to the Perry Estate when it was divided, they pursued the Land Commission to get a playing pitch, get a piece of ground. Mm. And that's what they got. And it was always known to us going back in the years, when early on in life, in my time, it was known as the lawn. I presume it was the front to the lawn of the big house or something like that. That's what's called for the lawn.
Really?
Yeah.
Would it still be referred to that locally?
Well, not now, no. Not the generation at the present time for the field has been developed over the years and different things are set in place. So now it's only in my age, of course, maybe the lawn. Joe here knows the lawn.
Yeah.
And you have a thriving juvenile set up here.
Well, yes, the juvenile club was formed in about the early 70s, set up. And we had no juvenile club until then. And down the years, they have performed very well. In most recent years now, they have performed and have won a lot of championships.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky. There's a great juvenile club there at the moment, of great officers and great leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the book then you wrote, because I know you were involved in writing a book on the history of the GAA. There was a lot of work went into that.
I think the book was spoken about since when the club was formed. But it took many years to function or to get it off the ground. Yes, I was involved along with another committee. We had a great committee and done a lot of work in it and a lot of research. And I suppose eventually it was produced and launched in 2009, covering 75 years, I think, of the club.
Was there anything you found in your research of doing that book that maybe you didn't know that you came across that you were surprised by?
It was quite a lot, it was going back before my time, and what we did find was, I suppose, which we're doing it back in 1917, before the club was really formed in 1932, there was a club here, they took part in a championship that we found, but then it went by the wayside, of course, during the times that were in it then, you know, until 1932 again.
Yeah.
But that was something we found that we didn't maybe know. And yes, there were bits and pieces, you know, that.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to have those, and now to document them and bring them into the future.
Well, the photos were the most important thing, and we got a lot of photos, and, you know, great credit to the people that provided the photos for as you know yourself, there's a story in every photo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You used to work in the creamery then that was here as well, didn't you?
Oh, my God, you're bringing me back. Who told you all that now?
Well, I couldn't be giving out my sources now, Dennis, but tell me, when did you finish up? When did the creamery close here first?
I worked, there was an old creamery back over the as you head over to us, Waterford, called about former water, on the bounds there. The old creamery was there, and I started working there. I worked there for 3 years. A steam engine, a diesel engine and steam.
Gosh. And then it changed over, didn't it?
Then in 1959, they opened the new creamery here in the village.
Yeah.
It was actually the first, it went down in history, the first all-electric creamery in Ireland.
My God.
So I remember coming over there, and the ESB guys showing me switches and buttons, and they're like going into a space rocket.
What was it?
Back in time.
What was that like at the time then, to make that switch over?
God, sure, it was a mighty change. Like, you know, going from steam to from diesel engines to all electric motors, and, you know, the separator, pasteurizers, and all that crack. But sadly, with the amalgamation the creamery was in, it closed in 1969.
Mm. It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Lucky I wasn't made redundant, and I got transferred to Clonmel to Shore Island, and from there on in, I retired early in later.
Oh, lovely to talk to you. If anyone wants to put their or get their hands on the book, on the history book, how can they do that?
Well, there's only a few left. They'd be a collector's item now, I think.
That's a great way of selling it, Dennis.
If anyone wants them, they'll come. Definitely a collector's item. So, look, again, that's there is a lot of information for anyone that would be interested. Very, very, you know.
That's great. Well done on your work on it, and well done. Thanks. Lovely to talk to you this morning, Dennis. Kira Lonergan, you're with the first responders. Now, I know I've spoken to the first responders a number of times. An amazing group. Just for anyone who hasn't heard of you, tell us what you do.
Thanks for having me on this morning, Alison. We're a group of 20-plus volunteers. We were set up there pre-2017. I suppose there was an earlier group, but when I joined, it was kind of formed more so in 2017. We're operating under the National Ambulance Service. We are responding to 999 calls, so we respond to cardiac arrest, chest pains, strokes and choking calls. We operate in an 8 kilometre radius of the village here, so we actually cover a lot of area around here, including Gotenbridge, Ballybacon, Grange, Ardfinnan, 4 Mile Water, Ballymacarbery, and of course the surrounding areas as well. I suppose just to mention there that the National Ambulance Service have also launched a website there. It's becomeacfr.ie, which is really good. So that covers the whole country. So you can look up wherever you're from, and there, if there's a group there, you'll see it, and all the information regarding it is there. So I suppose what we do is we have a controller who receives the call from the National Ambulance Service, who then dispatches the call to us. So then it is worked. We work then, everybody is on call within the group at all times. So if you can respond, you respond, and if you can't, you can't. So we're actually very lucky. We're a very lucky group in the country. We have actually have our own personal radios as well, most of us do.
Yeah.
And it's a great way, because it, as soon as we are leaving our houses, we are communicating through the radio, and it's really handy. You can hear what's going on, you know, you're not distracted from when you're driving and stuff. So everything is worked off ear codes, and so most of the time there'll be numerous responders, but we always operate with two people, so you never go in on your own.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's a great safety aspect, and of course everyone is highly trained. We're very lucky. We have great instructors in the group as well who look after us.
But you're all volunteers essentially, aren't you, really?
Oh yeah, we are, and it's a 24-hour service, yeah. 365 days of the year. Yeah, we're very, very lucky. We have a fantastic group, and we have a fantastic backing as well in the community.
Any idea how many lives you've saved as a result?
I suppose the list is probably endless. I couldn't really tell you a number.
That's incredible, though, is it? I mean, yeah. You must be very proud of that.
Oh, geez, it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm very proud to be part of the group. You know, I'm in it years now, and it's fantastic. It's really fantastic. Yeah. And even the thanks is endless from the surrounding communities. You know, we're quite well known around now because we've responded to quite a number of calls around.
Not only that, but there's other communities across Tip and across the country who are looking to replicate what you're doing here. So, I mean, there's no greater, I suppose, compliment to what you're doing than that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic compliment to it, and thank you very much for saying that. Yeah, I suppose there is a lot of groups who've contacted us over the years as well, you know, because they see the way we operate and stuff. And do you know what? It's just, it's great. Every group is involved. It's open to everybody. Just, you know, it's great that way. And there's never any problem, you know, and we're open to any other groups if they wanted to reach us. You know, we're willing to share advice, and we have some great connections there in Ballyfreen as well. They're working away in their group as well, so it's fantastic. Yeah.
Is it difficult to get up and running? Or, you know, obviously you hear a lot with groups like this, the bureaucracy and the red tape of this is very difficult in setting it up. Has that been an issue for you?
I think we've been very lucky. We have a great group, and we have a great group of people. What I would say, the National Ambulance are a fantastic support to us as well. Excuse me. There's great information there. There's great support. Anything you need, everything is there. You know, I suppose it's getting people are sometimes are afraid to come forward for these groups. But there's a great community in these groups, and there's fantastic support, and there's great trainers out there. There's just fantastic people involved in them across the country. I've met some great people, very, very nice people over the few years.
Well, you're doing amazing work, and well done to you all and everyone involved in the first responders. Give Ciara a hand and the first responders. We just need to take a quick break, but we'll be live in Newcastle after this.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage Pecan, you can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slattery'sgarage.ie.
The Tipperary Village Tour. Funded by Commissioner Naman. With the television licence fee. Tipperary.
Tip FM.
Liam, with Joe helping you there.
You join us again live from Newcastle this morning, where Nugent's Pub is part of the Tip Today Village Tour, coming to you live from Newcastle today. And if you want to be part of our village tour, you can make contact with us, tiptoday@tipfm.com. We would be delighted to visit your village and showcase the great work of the community groups that you have there. Marion O'Dwyer, Muintir na Tíre, of course, we've heard a lot about the fantastic work that's done in Muintir na Tíre groups around the country. Tell us about the work of the Newcastle group.
Well, I think back in 1969, Dennis tells me a group got together to form Muintir na Tíre. Well, it wasn't Muintir na Tíre then, but in 1970 they affiliated to Muintir na Tíre, and we've been affiliated every year since then. So that's 40 odd years. We were a small enough committee, but a dedicated committee. You have to be, because there's quite a lot going on in the hall. And in recent years, we have upgraded the place considerably, the car park, the building itself. And just shortly after COVID, we opened our new Shome Renewa extension to the hall. So, yeah, we've been quite busy, but we enjoy it. We do get tired from time to time. We're looking for new, younger members, yeah. You know, if they'd come in, you know what I mean? There's so much going on in the hall. The Brothers of Charity use the Shome Renewa Monday to Friday. The after school group use it after school, obviously, during the school terms. There's a care group there that look after the children for the parents. And we have Irish dancing, Pilates, yoga. We have the CFR do their training there. We have we cater for post-funeral refreshments, which is has always been a tradition, so that still is ongoing. We have our volunteers and we cater for the post-funeral
refreshments. It's lovely to still have that tradition, isn't it? Because that's something that's really dying out in a lot of communities.
Yeah. It's difficult to time with the hall at 95% capacity.
That's amazing.
At the minute. I mean, it's available if anybody wants it, after 2 o'clock on the Saturday or Sunday.
That's the only opening
we
have.
That's the only opening we have at the minute.
Can I pop in here and say, I was down here about a year ago, and what they were doing was, and I know you're wearing, like most people in the community, wearing two hats, you're treasurer of Knockmill Down Active as well, and they were launching all the work they had done. Now, I knew about a few things like St. Eklund's Way. I knew about the Knock Me Down Challenge. I knew about the kayaking. But the amount of things they had been doing that you're doing, and the amount of money that went through it and everything else, you just see, you know, to me, I've never seen, and I have written for years about community development, I have never seen a group that has been as active as that, as efficient as that. And in fact, I was only out there, and you were as well, of course, organising the big walk with maybe up to 250, 300 people down to more. And it is organised, you know, it's organised to within an inch of everyone's life. Yeah. Everything is done. Everybody comes off and says, it's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. And I think that just comes from the spirit of volunteerism that you find here. But I had a great night, and my eyes were out and stalks at the work that was being done.
Yeah, there's members of, there's three members of Muintir na Tíre involved with Knockmill Down Active. It's an inter-community community event, our organisation, and actually we only had the first two stages of St. Eklund's Way at the weekend. They walked from Cashel to Care and from Care to Gotenbridge. And on the 6th and 7th of April, they will walk from Gotenbridge to Mount Mellery. And on the following day, they'll walk from Mount Mellery to Lismore. And then the last two stages are Aglish and Ardmore. But it's great in that as much as we facilitate their meetings and, you know, they go around to every community, have their meetings, they join us for their meetings. And it's a lovely organisation to be involved with. But my uppermost involvement is with Muintir na Tíre. It's my baby, as they call it. You know what I mean?
The hall is a real hub of the community here, because you've the Nenera behind
it. The central hub there in the village, you know what I mean? And to see such activity going on with the Nenera behind it, you know what I mean? And the activity is like O'Connell Street in Dublin there sometimes, with cars coming and going, you know what I mean? So, it's great. I mean, the upgrade of the hall, for the last 7 or 8 years, we've really put a lot of work into upgrading the hall, making it energy efficient, and like I say, building on the extension, and the car park was upgraded. Just trying to make it safe for everybody to use, you know what I mean, and that they're comfortable in the hall, because if you're not comfortable sitting down at a meeting, you're not going to go to meetings, and we're trying to encourage as many people as possible to use the hall, because that's what it's there for, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I always think the strength of a community can be evaluated from, if you go into a community, and there's a community community where the hall is open twice a week and there's a couple of things on, you know that there aren't strong community structures. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I'd ask about a community. How many days of the week and how often, many hours is the hall open? And it looks like yours is 95%.
Yeah, it's a measure of the strength of the community.
It's
pretty full on. It's available, we'll say, on the Sundays maybe for walking groups. Peaks Mountaineering have their walk coming up the 27th of July and they'll use the hall as their base. Also, CFR have meetings, or the community, the Knockmill Down Active would have meetings, and there'd be various walking groups, and of course it's open for children's parties and things like that on the Sunday or on the afternoon of the Saturdays. That's all it's available at the minute.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
So the rest are ongoing users of the hall, like, you know what I mean?
Tell us about the monthly draw then as well.
The monthly draw is our main fundraiser. It's 300 members. It raises the money, we'll say, to keep the hall at a high standard, to maintain the hall at a high standard. And I just would like at this stage to thank the local community and people from outside the community too, who join it year on, and that gives us a nice sum of money without having to go to the fund, to the pot too often, you know, to raise the money. You know what I mean? Because we're not the best at selling tickets and things like that. And this means you get people to join for the first draw, we say, in September, and you're done with it then for a year. You're not going out constantly raising, trying to raise funds and keep going. You know what I mean? Mm. That's it. We just do maybe two items for charity each year. We just had a coffee evening for the Daffodil Day, and on Saturday and Friday night coming, we have a car drive in aid of Coons Air. We have a car game every good Friday night, so that's in aid of Coons Air this Friday night. That basically it, I suppose, just to encourage new people. I know every community has a problem, and people want things done, but through one thing or another, they're not able to give time. But I mean, 2 or 3 hours, maybe a week, some weeks, you know what I mean? Even to help out at the post-funeral refreshments. Mm. Some of us are not getting any younger, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what communities like this thrive on. It's just
the younger age group. Yeah, if they could get involved, maybe volunteer every now and then, you know what I mean? And my phone number is always available on Facebook page. They can always ring me or contact any committee member. We would welcome to come in and just keep the show on the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Marion. Give Marion a hand there. Joe, I'm coming to you now. Once I can pick this up.
The oldest swinger in town.
The oldest swinger in town. Is that it?
And he was a swinger. Many, very few words, don't mind.
I doubt that now.
He was a swinger.
How many years young are you, Joe?
Ben?
How many years young are you?
89.
89. God, you're fresh for 89. Della, have you lived in Newcastle all your life?
All my life, yeah.
What makes Newcastle so good?
Well, the people.
Yeah.
Well, great people in Newcastle. Well, good people in every Tipperary village, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but this village is special.
What kind of changes have you seen then over the years?
Well, sure, I'll tell you about the changes. I was there when all work was manually done. And then they came up along to me and said, you're up in the computer age now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when the first combine came into this village, this machine that could cut corn and thresh it and bale it. And the amount of people that was in the field was unbelievable. You think the Munster Vine was on, you know?
Yeah.
And I was there, of course, I was there during the war, not the famine, but during the war, yes.
We're not that old.
But everything was rationed. Yeah, I mean, and the ration books and whatever. I also remember Black 47, when everything was grounded.
Yeah.
And all the potatoes, any potatoes couldn't be taken out of the ground. They weren't taken out until 1948. You know, people survived, but I've seen, we were lucky enough in the country, we were able to go out and get wood for the fire, but I had friends of mine, my cousins of mine in Clonmel, when they took the, burned the banisters and they burned the skirting boards for heat. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah.
So, this country's come a long way.
Because there's a lot of people that would say, and God knows we hear the sad stories from people on Tip Today every day about, you know, the various state of the health service and of housing. But if you were to compare now to when you were growing up, would you say we don't have it that hard anymore?
Pardon?
Would you think that we have it easier now?
Of course we have it easier. We have too many people that complain all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not as hardy as your generation.
Well, I'm my generation. They had to be hardy. They had to be hardy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't even get, if you had a bicycle and you got punctured, you couldn't get a patch to fix it. Those things were so scarce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
in terms of the community here in Newcastle, have you seen that strengthen and strengthen over the years?
Of course I have. Since Michael Taylor took over and Marion on our team, you know what I mean? This village is a fantastic village.
Yeah.
I remember there were 7 shops in this village, and there were 4 more shops outside the village. In that time, but they were all on this side of the bridge. I don't know what was on the other side of the bridge where Matthew comes from. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Well, this is a great village.
Yeah.
You know?
Tell us then, we were talking to Dennis about the GAA, and so would you be involved in that growing up?
Well, I played with Newcastle for a little while, yeah.
Yeah.
But I gave it up too young. I'm sorry after I gave it up.
Were you?
I was, yeah.
You wish you'd stayed with it longer.
I should have stayed with it longer, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, my next door neighbour, who was a few All Ireland's, Tomás O'Flynn. You know what I mean? So yeah. He wanted me to keep playing, but I didn't keep playing. I was into motorbikes and dancing and all
what
that.
Harm?
And,
what harm?
And not woman here and there as
here
well.
Here and there. Joe, what would be your hopes now for Newcastle going forward in the future?
Well, sure. Can we go? How far more can we go? We're nearly at the peak, aren't we?
Do you think it can't get any better?
Well, can't get any better, no. Can't get any better, no. I don't think it can any. Do you think you'll get better, no?
But yeah, I'd have to be loyal to my own home, you see, and then, yeah. Joe, that would be number
one. There's much difference between Skeen and Rank and Kilbinney and this village. They're all very decent people and like lovely people to play cards with and all
but
that.
Isn't that, and I find that in every village we go to, it's the community that makes it,
isn't
it?
Yeah, yeah, play cards 2 or 3 nights a week and you meet so many friends and you're friends for life, you know what I mean? Even though they're all younger than me, I remember when all these were babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Joe, lovely to talk to you this morning.
Thanks
for having me here. Thanks, Joe. Now, you stay where you are, Helen, you're all right. Matty, I'll come to you. How are you, Matty?
I'm great, and thanks for coming and talk. Cade Miller-Falter of Goodie Cushna New and Ashura. As Tom Bally Shaw, the late fella Bracken, wrote a lovely song about it. And you had him in Ballyprene as well.
Yeah.
I'm only going to speak about the Voluntary Housing Association. We had a very, very, very terrible incident here back in the mid-90s, where a man was viciously beaten up. And we had a public meeting after that, organised by Community Lairds in the Winter Theatre Hall. And a group came out of that. Of all bad things, good comes forward, as Joe has said there. We, great people, some have gone to their rewards, their tenant rewards, set up a group with the voluntary housing. We have during the day at 14 houses and 3 more up here and the Hillcrest. And we still have a committee. Some of the older people are still on it, but we have some new blood as well. Joyce was meant to be here today, she couldn't. And we have, thankfully now, with the help of Liam Kelly and our FAW scheme here, the B&B CE scheme, help every club that we're talking about today. They do all the groundwork with some people from your own parish working here in the graveyard and everything else. So, but this is a wonderful development. I would say in my political and community life, it's the happiest thing I ever did. With 17 houses, if every village today built even 10 or 5 houses, the housing crisis would be halved.
Yeah.
And there is the funding out there. It's just the enablers are the people. We were 12 people that had no expertise. We had to hire in Liam Long as an engineer and architect, and we did that development. We have it over here, and we built it in record time. We built it in about 15 months. President McAleese at the time came and opened it in 2004. And we're approaching our 2005, we're approaching our 25th anniversary. What the mainstay of it is the happiness of the residents, and some of them are going to have passed on since as well and moved, but they're very happy, safe, well looked after there, and thanks to the committee, but thanks to the people of Newcastle, Nath, Nicole, Michaela, they supported us. We got the funding from government, and the funding is there now more than ever, cash funding, but you need the energy of the community to do it. And thankfully we had that energy, and it's been a marvellous success.
And we saw that in Upper Church as well, and it's just the importance of keeping the local people in their community where they want to be.
Yes, indeed, that's why we built it. But funny enough, some of the local people that we thought might use it didn't want to use it, and that's their entitlement. Yeah. Some came from the mountains and went back there, wouldn't stay. But that was their wish, and they were happy in their home places. But we had people from all over the world. Africa, with Phil, a lovely woman who was all over the world as a reverend sister, came back there, retired. There was people, a chance meeting of a man I met in the road who spent his life in Ferry House, spent his life working in Sellafield. Of course, your boss, couple Bino Hin, Tosh Emma, but just met him on the road one day. I was looking for directions and he didn't know where Newcastle was.
I'm fascinated by something there, what Joe said. I'm thinking all the time, I'm dumbstruck by the vision of you in the cart.
in the cradle. Absolutely. I have a feeling what you should do is grab a picture of that and send it up to someone like Aidan or Aidan or somebody like that.
But Aidan well, might like the dirty nappies, though, as Joe said to me about at the time. A bit messy stuff, but no. The Art Vision is here in Newcastle and it's wonderful, yeah. and we need them in every parish. And as I said, Winter brought that hall. That was a VEC school. Yeah. I went to lessons there, woodwork lessons there back in the late 60s, 69 or that, before it closed as a school. So, but there's a great story about the creamery. It was opened by Stanley Mass, the first, I don't remember, but I was in a pram. It was a Blaine one, and my mother brought me to the match that he was played in memory of it, and there was a bit of a tweet, a bit of a row, and I got tossed out of the pram, just I'm told. So if I'm walking sideways or anything else, shin cut a hole.
That's what happened. Oh, well done. Matty, lovely to talk to you. Thanks, Villian. Rose, how are you? I know you're very shy, but we'll have a quick word. Rose, first of all, thank you so much for having us here today, and thanks for the scones and the tea and the coffee you laid on. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, welcome. And thanks very much for coming.
Not at all, my pleasure. What I love about it, you still maintain the beautiful tradition and heritage in the pub here. It's amazing.
Yeah, oh, still the same.
Yeah.
Still the same.
And tell, I know you have the Liam Lynch chaise longue as well here. Would you have a lot of people calling to see
that? I do, a lot of people.
Yeah.
They come from every place.
Really?
Yeah, every place.
It must be such an honour to have it.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Gosh.
I'm looking forward to seeing it later on because I've never seen it and it's been talked about so much.
Yes,
and I never had the courage to come in, but you're a lovely lady like this now. I'd probably haunt the place when I'm around again, you know.
I know you're a lady who doesn't like the attention, but I just want to say thank you so much for having us.
And
today.
Thanks very much, Alison. That's great.
Thanks, Rose. Well done, Rose. Councillor Maureen McGrath, we've only kind of touched on some of the amazing groups today. There's so much more and so much great work being done here, isn't
that's
there?
That's it, Alison, and thanks to you and to John for coming out today. And we could have filled 3 hours of the show
absolutely.
With Newcastle and all the things that there is. And I just want to pay credit to all of the different people and groups that are here. We've talked a lot about it, but there's, you know, obviously the Irish dancing is a strong heritage here in Newcastle, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But we've a youth club, we've a badminton club, a vintage club, a historical society, cultist groups, Tidy Towns, and all the other things, the Shoreside Riders, motorbikes, all the things that go on in Tignadina and in the Moynshire Hall. It's amazing, and there's something for everything, everyone really in the village. But as I said, I suppose one of the biggest things that Newcastle is known about is the Irish dancing and our Irish heritage. We're known all over the country for our set dancing, and only we're on radio, not in telly, we would have an Irish dancing display for you. And as the younger girl said at the start of the show, they're involved in the dancing as well. We have 13 dancers over in Glasgow this week at the World Irish Dancing Championships. Caelan McGrath, my sister, and Cuiva Leahy are doing solo dancing, and then we've two team dancing. So
it's fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic, and huge credit to their teacher Cathy McGrath from the McGrath School of Dance. It's just a wonderful tradition, and they've really come on strength to strength in the village. And you know, we're so proud of them. I think everybody knows somebody that through the years has got a set dancing medal. Some of them are amongst us. I think Matty always reminds us of the medal he once got. But it's really a strong community, and that was formed from the Cayley Club back, I think, maybe 50 years ago now when it first set up in Newcastle. Helen will be able to confirm that through Monty Hallinan. But no, look, we are a really, really strong community. And the other thing, other than the dancing, that I wanted to say, but John touched on, is about Knockmildown Active. Every year we have the adventure race, which brings last year over 600 people to take part in a race. It starts in Newcastle and goes along the Knockmill Downs, and it really is treasuring the natural beauty that we have in the area. We're at the foot of the Knockmill Downs, and that's what's so special, and that's where the Irish comes from, and we're so proud of that heritage. And then the last thing I wanted to say was about our cultus, where we have Irish music lessons. We enter the FLA every year through dancing and music, and we have one of our tutors, Odo Sullivan. He's a banjo, he's a blow-in, but we've accepted him because he's a great banjo player, and I think they're gonna play it too. And I'm not gonna keep you long. You're hearing it from me, Alison.
That's all right, Maureen. Lovely to talk to you today. Thanks so much, and thanks for having us. And we are going to finish out the lads, Owen and Evan. Owen, how are you?
Not too bad, Alison, yourself.
You're blowing, are you?
I am. I'm originally a Limerick man living in Newcastle now.
That's
so.
All right, we'll let it. But when you moved here, I mean, were you taken aback by such the rich level of music and the love of music here?
Oh, yeah. As I said, I come from West Limerick myself, which would be the heart of Sleave Lucre. So when I came in, it was actually originally that Christmas, I came into the pub and one of the boys I play music with, Will Condon. We formed a new group recently called That's the Shot. But met him and he walked up to me and he said, "Here, will you play a tune?" So straight away I was in the heart of it, and it actually was in this pub. So yeah, I was kind of
no better way to feel at home.
It was a home away from home, really. Yeah. So as I said, that got going. Evan, as I said, joins us now and again.
Evan's very shy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very shy here in the corner at the moment. Like we play a good bit in Dungarvan. As I said, it'll be busy now. It's starting to, let's say, heat up now, coming up to the summertime as well. So yeah, you'll find us on Instagram and That's the Shot Music, as I said. But as I said, they're just getting going now these days.
Brilliant, fantastic. You just get ready, so, because that's it from Newcastle for this morning. The lads are going to play us out from here. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Rose and everyone here in Newcastle. We had a lovely morning here. That's it for the Village Tour in Newcastle. Off you go, lads.
We leave the Sejoun in lovely Newcastle, and thanks to everybody who turned up there this morning to make another fantastic edition indeed of our Village Tour. News is on the way.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.